This episode is brought to you by Indeed. Stop waiting around for the perfect candidate. Instead, use Indeed-sponsored jobs to find the right people with the right skills fast. It's a simple way to make sure your listing is the first candidate see. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs have 4 times more applicants than non-sponsored jobs. So go build your dream team today with Indeed. Get a $75 sponsored job credit at Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Every who down in Who Newville liked the holidays a ton. But where to get great prices on gifts, they had no idea. None. They searched and they searched for great gifts under $25. Gifts for spouses and friends and even their toddlers. When suddenly one who shouted, "Walmart has what you want," knowing they have Lego, Tree Hut, and no prices to flaunt. So they enjoy the holiday season as who's often do. Cheering and shouting, "Walmart has incredible gifts." Who knew? Find gifts they'll love under $25 at Walmart.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Hey, everybody.
Can't get enough of The Rich Eisen Show? You're in luck. You can find us everywhere. Watch us weekdays on Disney Plus from noon to 3 Eastern. Miss the show? We've got a podcast so you can listen anytime. But here's the best part. Our YouTube channel. Subscribe at youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show and you'll never miss a moment. Now, on with the show. This is The Rich Eisen Show.
This is a LeBron appreciation segment. There are 82 individuals on NBA rosters who started living after LeBron started playing.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. NBC Sports Boston Patriots insider Tom Curran. Host and creative director of MSNBC Live, Luke Russert. 4-time Emmy winner Vince Gilligan. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to this edition of The Rich Eisen Show, Disney Plus, the ESPN app, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance, Sirius XM, Channel 80. Hello to all of you taking us in, watching us, listening to us live. There's our podcast listeners later on. Hello to you. You care, so we care. And so, hello. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We want to have a conversation with us. We're here for you. Tommy C., Tommy Curran. I guess we figured the Patriots win 9 of their first 11. We got to check in with Tommy and see how he's doing up there in New England as they get set to become, wait for it, potentially, the first 10-win team in the National Football League this year as the Patriots go ahead and go into Cincinnati earlier on in the early window on Sunday. Patriots could wind up being the first double-digit win team because neither team that's taking on each other tonight, Bills and Texans to kick off week, doesn't win tonight does not put them in such a category. Anyway, Tom's going to join us in about 18 minutes' time. And then this is what we love about doing this show. We've got what could be more further apart pop culture than a Hallmark movie on the Buffalo Bills and Vince Gilligan's Pluribus. I don't know what there is. It's a large sort of Grand Canyon-like chasm of pop culture. But Luke Russert, longtime Buffalo Bills fan, is going to be joining us in hour number two in advance of the Bills-Texans tonight in support of Holiday Touchdown, a Bills love story, which premieres this Saturday on Hallmark. How about them apples?
I love it.
Huh? Love amongst the folding tables.
Right.
At any rate, he's going to be joining us in hour number two of the show. And then truly one of the best of the best of the best in the business in terms of creating, writing, directing, putting in front of you something so compelling on your television set, so thought-provoking, than Vince Gilligan, the creator of Breaking Bad and also Better Call Saul. Pluribus is on Apple TV. The first 3 episodes are out there, and so is the show. It is out there, and he's in here. He was the first ever in-studio guest in the history of this show over 11 years ago last month. He will be the latest in hour number 3 of the program. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you? The table
is set. Hey, I'm great, Rich. And also the nicest guy in Hollywood.
I know. Yeah. He's so really sweet.
Is. He's amazing.
I know. I fanboyed him in an airport. He had no idea who I was at all. He's not that diehard of an NFL fan. But I fanboyed him, and he's just like, sure, I'll do your podcast. And then he did the Rich Eisen podcast after Breaking Bad finished, a week after it was done. We had sort of like a 2-hour exit interview with him for all fans.
It was supposed to be 30 minutes. It was over 90.
Unreal.
It was incredible.
Right. And then the first episode of the history of this show, he left the writer's room for his new show, Better Call Saul, to come here. Awesome. And so is Pluribus. Good to see you, Mike Del Tufo.
Good morning, Rich.
How are you TJ Jefferson, Candles Lit. So is No Contest Wrestling's latest episode, wherever you get your podcasts. Ooh, yeah. How are you, sir?
I can't complain. What's up, fellas? What's up, TJ?
Let's start in the state of Pennsylvania.
I like that state.
Two quarterbacks speaking yesterday in different parts of their career and different statuses as well. Both of them Super Bowl MVPs. And we'll start east. We'll go from east to west. We'll go from right to left. I am Jewish. So let's start reading that way.
Okay.
And it also starts with the defending Super Bowl champs. And I just want to say this, and this is no offense to you because we've had your laugh at your expense, TJ, being there from the center of the state in Altoona, Pennsylvania, right? Pretty much.
East Coast.
East Coast. You call it East Coast. Pittsburgh's not the East Coast. It is not. It is the western part of an eastern state. Philadelphia is the East Coast. Okay? And in that respect, I'm seeing a nodding of the head from somebody from New Jersey and Mike Del Tufo.
Yes.
And somebody from all around the map, but hails mostly from New England and Chris Brockman. You're both nodding your head in agreement. Okay.
Yes.
And you both know, as I do, born in Brooklyn, raised in Staten Island, that East Coast sports fans in many ways are just not happy unless they're unhappy.
Yep.
You're not truly at your happiest until you're at your most unhappy.
And
we talk in a certain way. We're out here in California. People will sometimes look at me and say, you're angry. And I'm like, no, this is just the way I'm emoting. I'm fine. I'm okay.
Leave me alone.
This is the way we talk.
Yeah.
So when you've got a defending champion Philadelphia Eagles team entering this week at 8-2, 100% in line to be the first repeat champion of the NFC East since the Eagles did it from 2001-2004. Did you know that? It's been different winners of this division over and over and over again, up until even in the Eagles Super Bowl window that we've seen over the last few years. The Eagles, unless they completely fall apart starting this weekend in Dallas, they're not losing this division. They're going to repeat as champs. And they have a great shot because they've beaten the Rams, the team that I think is the best in the NFC right now entering week 12. They have a great shot at being the one seed. They have a great shot at sitting at home and only two home wins to get back to the Super Bowl as it currently stands. And it's a full-on grease fire media-wise right now in that town, the latest being a report, I guess one would say, for a reporter from The Athletic. His name is Derek Gunn. He's a reporter. I believe he said this on the podcast of my old NFL Network first show, speaking of first shows, on NFL Total Access, Seth Joyner's podcast. Ooh. And Seth, I heard you're upset with me on my take of like, I'm done with the tush push. That's what I heard, Seth. And the one person I never want angry at me is Seth Joyner, who I could never tell if he liked me or not. Even when he was smiling and laughing with me. What's up, Seth? But Derek says that there are people within the organization and offensive rooms that are upset with Jalen Hurts because of his hesitancy to occasionally throw the ball into tight windows against zone coverage or generally playing his game whenever he wants, despite his game not being part of the game plan that's been practiced by everyone else leading up to the game. Sort of saying, if I can read between the lines, the quarterback, the Super Bowl MVP quarterback of the Eagles is going rogue. So it's his time in the barrel now. It's been A.J. Brown's time in the barrel, thanks to tweets and posts and janky Rondo Twitch feeds and all of that stuff. And Jalen Hurts got to be like, okay, I guess it's my time in the barrel, even though we just beat the Lions. But it is because the defense has been balling out. The offensive numbers are what they are, and they aren't like last year. 25th in total yards, just a hair over 300 yards per game. 28th in passing, 29th in third down conversion. They're averaging a 115 rushing yards per game. Nothing like last year. That's middle of the pack. As we all know, last year they pretty much damn led it. They were second overall in that department last year. They are 75% in red zone conversion rates. That's good. So is just a season low 4 giveaways. That's good. With a defense, that's how you're better than good at 8-2. All right, Jalen Hurts, answer the questions, sir.
Guess I get a lot of attention when things are going well and when things are not going so well. And so I never run away from holding myself accountable. And I think, you know, I think that's exactly what I've taken the approach of doing. You know, when I look at this last game, you know, I take great pride in what we do on offense. I take great pride in how we go out there and play as a team and what our flow is.
How surprising is it that there are these reported frustrations?
I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised by anything. I mean, you know, this is kind of the nature of the position, like I said. But, you know, I put my energy and I put my focus on trying to go out there and do my best and trying to learn, trying to build, trying to take in the things that I can to improve.
Go ahead, hit it, Mike. Hit it.
Were they really thinking?
I don't dare to dive into Jalen Hurts' head. Because he never lets you know what's in there, right? I mean, that's why I said his superpower being a Philadelphia quarterback is he never adds any grease to the fire of any media fire that's there. And there's one that's burning right now, despite the team being 8-2. You know? So, excuse me if I'm thinking he's got to be thinking. Are you all kidding me, please? I know you saw A.J. Brown, you know, apparently not being part of the huddle while I'm trying to rally the troops in a pregame rah-rah speech, and he's on the periphery laughing and not paying attention, and you ascribe that along with Brandon Graham's comments that need to be put back in the bottle, that there's something personal brewing between me and AJ Brown. And sure, you want me to admit it? What am I going to do here? Just give more fuel to this fire? When I am a Super Bowl MVP, do I need to remind you of the last two times we've made it to the Super Bowl? Oh, by the way, in the last 3 seasons. Do I need to remind you who's had some of the best games in the history of this sport in the sport's biggest game? Are we not 8-2? Are we not going to be repeat champions in this division? Are we not in the middle of the season? Have you not seen this movie play out before? He won't say that. And again, I don't know if he's feeling it. Did you not see me target A.J. Brown 11 times? What do you want from me? Did you not see the football needing to be held on kickoffs? Did you see all that stuff? Because I saw Jared Goff struggle worse than I did. And I know that's our defense because I love those guys. Come on now, everybody, chill out. And I will say this. Say what you will about Nick Sirianni. We always say here that there's an iceberg. We only see the tip. That's one hell of an iceberg. He's got 56 career wins in his first less than 5 seasons being the head coach there.
Yeah, he's on a Hall of Fame path.
It's unbelievable. You know, he said, I don't believe everything that you read. Again, this wasn't written. This was said on a pod. Going into Dallas, you're not sitting there feeling confident because if there's an argument and there's conversation that's led up after, by the way, consecutive wins against the two teams atop the division that we all thought was one of the toughest in the league coming in. And by the way, the Bears should send a nice, maybe they should bring it into Thanksgiving, you know, a nice gift basket. Because Philadelphia has helped them with their wins get into first place over the last 2 weeks. You're not sitting there overconfident, right? Because of the arguing in Philadelphia for the Cowboys.
Me?
Yes, sir.
I think around hour 3, you're going to find your answer.
Okay, that's a high register.
Oh.
Tease.
Oh.
Very good. Well done.
Thank you.
And before Tom Curran joins us.
Tommy.
Let's go to the western part of the state. Let's go out there.
What's hard?
Where, you know, there's a little bit of the East Coast there, but I understand the frustration that fans have, you know, hearing about how they, at least you finish above 500. Those banners don't get raised.
Yeah, they don't care.
In Western PA.
No.
They also aren't like, hey, at least you made the playoffs. Those don't get raised there. They want to raise a banner or they want to at least see some connective tissue on a roster that they can believe in with a coaching staff that coaches it up in such a way that they finish strong, not lose steam after starting strong. I get it. And we just saw a Steelers team beat the Colts, crash against the Chargers, and then survive, one would say, the Bengals, who are spitting angry, you know? And lose Aaron Rodgers, to a wrist injury that might knock him out of this game against a Bears team that could be kind of like the Steelers of the previous years. We'll see how they finish. I mean, 7-3 is a pretty damn good start to the Ben Johnson era. Every Bears fan would have signed for it in August when we're hearing about how Ben Johnson is throwing so much at Caleb Williams. It's like having him drink through a fire hose to get him ready for a season that is now, again, four games above 500 in first place all by themselves in the NFC North. Here comes the AFC North leading Steelers with the Ravens rampaging from 1-5 back to 500, one game right behind him. And Rodgers, let's talk about his readiness for this game first up. His wrist injury. Last we heard from Mike Tomlin, no surgery required. Friday would be the day by which we would know if he could potentially play in this game. That Rodgers himself spoke about what needs to happen for him to get out there with this left wrist injury.
Would it be a pain tolerance thing for you? If you play on Sunday, is that something you'd have to?
No, it'd be a safety thing.
Did it aggravate anything, or is this like a brand whole new injury?
Brand new.
What has to happen for you to play on Sunday?
Got to get the okay, and got to feel like I can protect myself.
Okay. It's kind of what Tomlin had to say. Kurt Warner was on the air yesterday saying that it would require him to maybe have a cast on it that would potentially wrap around his hand, which would create snap potential issues handling the football, handing it off, as well as, you know, you've got to be able to hand it off with both hands. Kurt mentioned how he had the injury that Jaden Daniels suffered, dislocated left arm, played the later on that week. We know Daniels has missed the last two games, and he had a hand off right-handed each time. Sometimes backhanding it into the... I remember when he did that, as a matter of fact. It looked weird.
Too.
If there's anybody who could do it, Rodgers can. And then the issue is, how is he going to sit against the Chicago Bears? Kyle Brandt, Good Morning Football diehard Bears fan, yesterday said, freezing cold, take me all you want. He's playing this game. There's no way he's not. And Rodgers, when it was brought up, hey, you're going to Chicago, you know, you're definitely going to want to play in this game. That's got to factor in. He tried to downplay it for a brief bit. There's incentive for every opponent, he said. But then got into the meat of this whole concept.
Aaron, do you sort of thrive off of being the villain there a little bit? Sort of enjoy that?
I'd rather not be. I mean, I'm not in Green Bay anymore. I feel like we can let bygones be bygones. Maybe I can, I guess. It's a great rivalry. I mean, in the history of all sports, you talk about the Lakers and the Celtics and the Red Sox and the Yankees. You got to talk about the Packers and the Bears. And there's been some great memories there. When I first got to Green Bay, the Bears had the all-time series lead. When I left, the Packers did. And since Jay Love has taken over, it's even gotten better. But I hope those fans can put that behind them. I'm sure they can't. Don't expect them to. But I really enjoy the city. They got great sports. When I grew up watching WGN on my five-channel TV back in the day. So I was a Cubs fan and a Bulls fan. How can you not be a Bulls fan unless you don't like Michael Jordan? I did. I loved him. So it was a lot of fun memories over the years playing that.
Yeah, I didn't know they – I guess he had WGN back in the old Chico area and here in California. Yeah, I can pretty much say on behalf of all Bears fans, there's no bygones. I don't think there ever will be. 24-5 all time against a fan base who he once upon a time very recently screamed, I still own you.
I still
There you go. Thank you, sir.
Yes.
I think he's going to play. How does that sound? How does that sound? I think he's going to play.
I think he wants to play.
I think he wants to play. Yeah. I think he's going to play. I'm with Kyle. I'm with Kyle right now. I'm going to call it right now. Obviously, I'm not a doctor. I don't see the x-rays. I just know. He's definitely of the mindset right now. I love that city. What's not to love? That city is truly one of the greatest in the world. And him going, he's not going. I mean, this is it. Even if he stays another year, the Bears aren't on the Steelers schedule next year. I could pretty much say that with a, it would have to be a 17th game where they'd have to play the Bears. They'd have to finish in the same spot. It would have to be an NFC North, AFC North off year like that.
Right.
And I don't think they would follow up a 17th game in division when they're already playing the full division the year before. I don't think that's going to happen. You could even look it up. I'll just even save you the time to say it would be highly unlikely. This is it. This is it for Rodgers there. I think he's going to do it. It's just amazing. Two MVP quarterbacks, 1-6-4, saying, you know, where the fan base is all in on him, all the hopes are in on him. With all due respect to Mason Rudolph, they need him. And the Eagles fan base, there are some people saying, do we really even need Jalen Hurts at some point? I'm even reading, like, he's headlines of some blogs out there that he's Carson Wentz 2.0. That's the other thing. Like, do you want him back?
I mean,
you want him back? You really want him back? I'm sure Hurts can play better, but come on, man. Come on, man. You just look up the turnpike at another team wearing green where they're like, let's try Justin Fields. Oh, let's bench him for a two-win team that can't beat anybody out of the state of Ohio for Tyrod Taylor before we go into Baltimore. Let's go do that. You want that? 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Or just keep looking even further up. Maybe the New England Patriots, who are finally coming out of a five-year window in which the Eagles went to the Super Bowl twice. Tom Curran's going to join us to tell us the state of affairs of the New England Patriots when we come back. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the Thumbtack app. Download today.
Rich Eisen here, and we're brought to you by Sonos. The holidays are all about connection, and Sonos speakers make every moment sound amazing. Imagine your favorite playlist flowing from room to room, movie nights that feel like the theater, or the big game filling your living room with stadium-quality sound. Whether it's a gift for someone you love or a little to-me-from-me moment, Sonos is the perfect gift that brings high-quality sound to every room. Sonos' Black Friday sale is on now through December 1st, 2025 at Sonos.com. Discover how easy it is to bring every room to life with Sonos.
The Rich Eisen Show podcast.
Rich Eisen Show on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Tom Curran of NBC Sports Boston and all things New England Patriots. The insider himself, yes, back here on the program. Good to see you, Tommy.
Hey,
how
it's
are
Tom
you?
Tom Curran. Hey, what's going on? You know, if your name is Skip,
yeah,
your ability to Bigfoot another man is significantly reduced.
I always need to check in with New England for a little bit of an ego boost, except in my own house. Listen, Tom, 9-2 is way above anybody's expectation level, correct? 9-2, right?
Yeah,
Tom?
Cam actually has a point. And I'm not positive what outlet he's worth either. I'm sure it's ESPN, but I don't know what show. But
it is First Take.
But here, I saw it earlier in the week. Listen to this. Strength of victory, Rich. So the win-loss percentage of the teams that you've beaten. The Broncos is actually the lowest at 354. Patriots are at 359. Colts is 366. On and on. Most of the teams at the top have beaten teams that have collectively not done great. But the win-loss percentage of opponents, the Patriots is 369. So the teams that they have played have collectively at this juncture only won 37% of the games. Broncos is at 423. Colts is at 431. generally speaking, if you're at the top of the conference, the teams that you have played will have lower collective records because you beat them. So they're worse. But he's not wrong.
Except for this fact, though, Tom, and I appreciate you pointing out those facts, is the Patriots over the last 2-3 years were in no position to beat the teams that they're supposed to be.
No, they earned this.
100%. In the last few years, they were not in any position of, oh, we're better here, we're better there. Just watch us go ahead and execute and go win the games. Not at all. And then you've got, I don't care how many times Mike Vrabel has previously won Coach of the Year. He's a new coach. And there's a new system. And there's new terminologies. And there's new cultures. And there's new receivers. And there's new rookies. And maybe the Patriots have taken advantage of being able to get on the same page and get some momentum going in a way that if they played teams with better records, they wouldn't have been. But when they went into Western New York, the Bills were still, you know, Super Bowl worthy Bills, which they are as of just this week again. You know what I mean? Like, you can't discount that.
No,
you can't
right.
discount it. You can't.
I'm defending Cam's take from a 30,000-foot view.
Sure.
If you're going to be a national pundit, which he is, you might not know the Patriots' season story inside and out. You might not be aware that they've dispatched everybody with relative ease, and even in the games in which they were challenged, they showed great resilience to win those games, that they play efficiently. They have some Achilles heels, but it's the nature of these wins. They're not dumbing into 9-2. They're not seeing doinked field goals by the opponents and myriad turnovers and just vast ineptitude. They're not seeing good teams, but they're beating them. They're not lucking into them. So that's the fine print about these Patriots right now. Rich, I've said this. I keep waiting for the egg to get laid. And it's just not popping out. None of these weeks. I said, Jets, they're going to lay an egg. Tampa, there's got to be an egg. No eggs. Eggless.
Well, I mean, I guess the eggs were the two losses. Losing to a Vegas team that, as we know, has not been able to shoot straight since. And then a Steelers team that they easily could have beaten had they held on to the football. Mm-hmm. And then Carolina's only gotten better since you've seen them. New Orleans popped Carolina in Carolina in a division contest where you throw records out, similar to the one that, in all honesty, I don't care that the Jets have only two wins. You usually do that sometimes in a short week game. So what is it? You know, obviously coach quarterback and top-notch coordinator together will work out. Let's take it one at a time here.
Sure.
Is Vrabel different? You think a 2.0 version of him in a way that Belichick was more 2.0 when he showed up in New England? He just seems to be, again,
I think
a little bit more, he's throwing arms around people. Or is that just because it's such a different way of seeing a Patriot coach handle business after Belichick for 20 years?
I think that every coach on a second time around, Rich, and I'm not telling you anything you don't know because you've covered as long or if not longer than me, but I think they're all different because they have said, okay, these are the things I need to stay away from. These are the things that I can do. And they had a year. That was important, I think, for Mike to be in Cleveland for a year to kind of self-audit and watch how somebody else did it at the NFL level. You know, he saw it in Houston. He did it at the NFL level. He did it in Tennessee. He saw where the potholes, pratfalls, and landmines might exist. Watched it in Cleveland. And then when he got here, one other aspect I think that is extremely important to what he's instilling and installing is he knows the area. He knows the media. He knows how to approach us, which is to give us a bunch, but we're thirsty little, you know, Robin, baby Robins out here. Just give us anything. So giving us just enough to satiate us will be great. Treating us pretty well, but be good. And if you're not good, and this was always the way it was with Bill Rich, believe it or not. If the team wasn't good, all we wanted was a candid reflection on reasons why. And if he wasn't going to give it at the podium, can we have a conversation on the side and you can explain some of this stuff to me? And he didn't do that in the last few years. It was just, I don't need them. And that's okay. It's the media. I'm not trying to oversell us, but yes. I think Mike's comfort level coming in here with a variety of things, fan base, ownership, media, the way he wanted to message, and having a very strict plan has all helped him a lot. So if you want to hit three things, I cannot talk for 4 minutes about the next two.
Uh-huh. Well, then let's talk about Drake May. Give me your favorite story you've heard about him this year that can potentially encapsulate his ascension, his professionalism, his otherworldly ability to throw a deep ball or say that ball to Kyle Williams that he threw for a touchdown against Tampa. What story have you heard that can potentially shed some light, Tom?
I can only give anecdotally what I observed was last year a guy who actually performed poorly at the ends of games put the ball into harm's way. He came into training camp. He didn't throw a pick for like 160 passes. I mentioned it. I mentioned it to him. He immediately went out and threw a pick to begin an inter-squad stadium scrimmage and to end it. Then he goes out in the first preseason game, and he has a moronic strip sack fumble on the first dropback. Then he comes into the Raiders game in the opener, and he gets picked down the middle of the field when they have the lead at the beginning of the second half. Then he plays good against Miami, goes to Pittsburgh. They turn it over five times. He was again befuddled. And then it's gone. All of it. The stupidity, the lack of poise, him being too amped up at the beginning of games. That, to me, is one of the most remarkable things. And I've been lucky enough to have seen some remarkable things from the quarterback position. That, to me, is one of the most remarkable things I've ever seen, to go from a guy shooting 83s to shooting 68s.
Like, so the coin dropped in the machine after week three into week four. The coin just dropped into an MVP machine, Tom?
It's unbelievable. It really is. Look at the downfield throws. Look at the yards per attempt. Look at the guys he's throwing to, not to besmirch. Look at the offensive line. Again, not to besmirch, but they're not loaded with experience and high-level talent. It's remarkable.
So is that McDaniels getting through? I mean, what is it? Okay. Yeah.
I think it has a ton to do with it. And it's, again, not to besmirch Alex Van Pelt, who did diagnose a lot of the fundamental problems that May had at North Carolina and stripped it back down to zero and started to fix them so that, you know, his privates were not pointing completely down the field on every throw. You know, stay a little bit closed and then open up, I think, was one big thing. Because when he was opening up, he was dropping down and he was losing a lot of accuracy. And again, that's from watching Brady, how long he would stay closed on his throws and how much he would just make it hip-oriented. So he improved it. But McDaniels, I think, met him more than halfway across the aisle to say, all right, well, you're not like Jimmy Garoppolo or Jacoby Brissett or even Tom Brady. I'm going to need to do things a little different with you, because you do things differently than them. And it's been a mutually beneficial relationship, I think, in that way.
Has it ever, man? Who are some of the other guys we're not talking about? Because obviously team game here. Defensively, other guys on offense we're not talking about.
Milt Williams has been great. Robert Spillane, he gave me the green light to call him Bobby.
Bobby Spillane.
Bobby Spillane has been a weapon.
That sounds better up in New England. You know what I mean? Bobby Spillane is much more of a New England than Robert Spillane. You know?
Who were you out with last night? It was just me and Bobby Spillane.
Yep. Right. It just rolls. It rolls off. It rolls off. Yeah. Okay.
Robert Spillane's been really good.
Right.
Gonzalez is smooth as hell. Oh, Marcus Jones, slot corner. He had the two return touchdowns in one game a few weeks back, but he's played tremendously well at slot corner. The one thing about him, Rich, that is different is the number of young players they're getting contributions from. Will Campbell has been everything you'd want in a left tackle after so much scrutiny. Jared Wilson, taken in the third round, has been the starting left guard. We thought that was going to be a disaster. You get two rookies next to each other. He's been more than fine. Greg Woodson's been a starting safety. Their kicker is Andy Borregales. He's been fine. Kyle Williams had a touchdown catch. He should be okay. I'm missing other people.
I mean, Pop Douglas has really come to the fore for sure, you know, and obviously Mac Hollins. Listen, all right, screw it. I'll go here. There's a lot of connective tissue between this and 2003, Tom. I mean, honestly, I mean, 2001. My bad. There's a lot of connective tissue between here and 2001. Second year quarterback. You know, coach second time around. Bunch of guys he's throwing to that. You know, obviously fantasy football wasn't going down back then, but a lot of guys that weren't the bold faced names. No offensive players of the year on this team, right?
Defensively,
a bunch of guys that collectively, the collective is just kicking your ass. And everybody's thinking, fool's gold, to be honest with you. And then, boom, look what happened. No?
Again, it's the Cam Newton take, and I'm not being a dink. It's from 30,000 feet. You're exactly right. When you really get into it, which I love because it's been my job, and I should be have a doctorate in this stuff because I've been doing it. The reason it's different is when the Patriots were by far the 30th best team in the league. Were they 30? No, 31st best team in the league because Houston came in the next year. They were the 31st best team in the league by a fair amount. The reason, when Bledsoe got hurt, you're going to a sixth-round quarterback. You're already dealing with a coach who was a disaster in Cleveland, who went 5-11. Now you're 0-2. They were horrendous in free agency previously. They were not expected to do anything. They were 5-5 at the midpoint after just hanging around with the St. Louis Rams. I was enthused by the team because they were watchable and you could see that there was some traction there. And I knew that, believe it or not, because I was not a big Bledsoe guy by that point, I knew that Brady was going to be their quarterback once he started playing because he was just that friggin' good. But that team overachieved in a bizarre way. They didn't have the third overall pick. They didn't have a guy who was a former coach of the year. But that team did have some real talent on defense. They had Law. They had Malloy.
Bruschi.
They had McGinnis.
Will Fork. So, all of them.
He was not there yet.
Oh, Will Fork wasn't there
yet. I'm a doctorate. Okay. I told you.
Okay, my bad. I should let you talk. My bad.
I've done enough.
No. But so where does this wind up? I mean, is there reason to believe that the gold is real?
At the end of the day, there is.
Huh?
There's reason. There's
for this
reason
year,
to believe
for this
they
year,
can,
right now. I mean, right now, you and I are talking. They are ahead of the Buffalo Bills. They're ready to break that streak in the division, and they are threatening for the conference. They're threatening to put the road to the playoffs through Gillette again. This is happening right now, Tom.
You can find the Achilles heel for Denver is they don't have a really strong offense. They're sputtery, as we know. The Colts. I still don't know if I'm a Daniel Jones guy. Bills cannot stop people on the ground. All those other teams, they have an Achilles heel. The Patriots' Achilles heel is red zone offense and defense. They suck. They're like worst in the league defensively. You get inside the 20, you're scoring touchdowns. You get inside the 10, 100% of the time, if you have first and goal, you're scoring a touchdown. So if you get behind and they fall behind in games early on every time, the first drive is usually a touchdown or field goal for the opposition. If you get behind Kansas City or Buffalo, even if you're home and you give that first touchdown up and then they get down the red zone again after you had to go 3-0, you're down 14-0. They haven't been there. So those are things I'm concerned about for them. But other than that, I just haven't seen the ineptitude in terms of fundamentals. They're not making stupid mistakes. They're not missing tackles. They're healthy as hell. You know, this injury to Milton Williams is the first one. And that's the main reason they won in 2018. It wasn't Sony Michel and Brady and Edelman and Gronk. I mean, they helped, obviously, more than helped. They were the drivers. But that car does not get over the finish line if the engine wasn't intact. And they lost like two guys the entire year to IR. I think it was Jeremy. Who was that running back from the Bengals? Jeremy Hill?
Yeah.
And Juwan Bentley, who had never even played. They had everybody else.
So in the minute I have left, is this Trevion Henderson's gig now? Because he's a hot hand, man. And I know there were a lot of New Englanders, including the one that just across the way just got in my ear and saying, why'd it take so long? You know, what are we?
Because
I mean, he is really.
Hey, Tom, great to see you,
he
man.
Could be another difference Five's maker good. In the last 6-7 weeks. When we're getting cold, you roll the Buckeye downhill and look out, man. That could happen.
It'll be Ramondre.
It will be. Okay.
Chris, check it out. If you look at it, it's and not again, not to give a hard time to the little fella, but his explosive runs are really buoying his yards per attempt. Those two long.
Totally agree. Plus. Totally agree.
So I would give the ball to Ramondre on first and second down. If somebody's going to get 18 carries, make sure it's Ramondre. But I do think that Henderson really built up a lot of confidence in the number of things he was able to do in the last couple of weeks. Say, all right, I got this now.
Tommy Curran, say hi to Bobby Spillane for me, okay?
Bobby, I was talking to Richie Eisen. Yep.
That's it. Thanks, Tom. Great to chat with you, buddy. Everybody check him out. A New England Patriots insider on NBC Sports Boston, his podcasts and all the things that he writes. Check him out. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show in a moment. As many of you know, supporting pediatric cancer research is something I care deeply about. That's why I'm proud to share what Hyundai's doing through Hyundai Hope on Wheels. For over 27 years, with every Hyundai sold, they've helped fund pediatric cancer research. Alongside over 850 dealers, they've raised more than $277 million, helping over 25,000 kids and supporting more than 1,400 research grants at 175 institutions nationwide. This year alone, they've committed another $27 million in honor of the 27th anniversary of the program. And they're proud to have national youth ambassadors like Jackson Trin and Emmy Cole, who bring hope to kids across the country by sharing their stories. Because at Hyundai, hope is our greatest feature, and it comes standard. Visit HyundaiUSA.com and search Hyundai Hope on Wheels to learn more.
As you know, managing maintenance, repair, and operations is never easy. But for the ones who always rise to the challenge, Grainger has your back. From professional-grade products you can count on to fast, dependable delivery, they're there to help you keep things running smoothly. Plus, their technical product specialists are here to help answer your toughest questions. And because Grainger knows safety is always a priority, they're committed to being your partner in protecting both your people and your facilities. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
The Rich Eisen Show, the podcast.
ESPN Radio, we're back on the air, presented by the Progressive Keys to Progress program, gifting cars to veterans in need. All right, Chris, what'd you make of your Patriot update right there?
Well, I follow Tom on everything, so I'm seeing what he's saying throughout the season. So, yeah, that kind of hit.
It's real.
It's totally real. And again, I understand all the people coming at me in the comments, ooh, they really played. Well, their two hardest games of this year were on the road, and they won them both, you know, pretty easily. So, yes, while they have a low strength of victory, again, you can only play who you play. But again, in the years past, those are games that they don't win or maybe struggle to win. And those games that they should win this year, they are dominating and winning, you know, handedly. So that's encouraging. It's fun to be a Pats fan again. And I apologize for the obnoxiousness that's surely coming in the next few years.
Let me just ask you a question. Philadelphia, two losses this year, one of them at the Giants. Is that a game they should have won?
Right, of course.
Okay. Let me see. Let's keep going here. Denver's losses. At Indianapolis, at the Chargers. That makes sense. They won at Philadelphia. They've won games that they're not supposed to win. Were the Patriots supposed to win in Buffalo on a Sunday night?
No.
That's where they were supposed to be, like, nice 500 start
fun,
you got
fun
here.
Fun start to the season for you kids.
Nice win you just had against Carolina, scoring 40 after they shut out their previous opponent, which, by the way, is close to a record of scoring against a team that just shut somebody out. With all due respect, Dallas. Monday nighter against Arizona at home. Should they have won that one? You know what I mean? Like, I'm everybody that we root for, you who might be pointing out, Lieutenant Weinberg, you talking about your team should, you know, is better than New England because of who have they beaten? They're not one of those teams that came in the year 15-1 last year where these are all games they're supposed to win, even though they're against teams that are struggling.
I mean, their win total, man. Their Vegas win total this year was 8.5. Like, it was the highest of high optimism that they were going to be over 500 record this year, and they got that mid-November?
Yeah. I mean, another one, the Chargers, were they supposed to be Jacksonville and Jacksonville?
Yeah.
How about getting wiped, having the floor wiped with them? These things happen to everybody, you know, pretty much, and they haven't really happened in New England yet.
No, and that's what Tom kept saying. Kept waiting for the egg, which could have happened at any time. You know, the Jets trap game.
Yeah.
All these other games that pop up in the schedule, and you're like, oh, okay, they won't. They just keep, Drake May made another big play. Mac Hollins is making plays. You know, they're not doing it with the sexiest of names either. It's Stephon Diggs has really come on in the last month as he's gotten healthier, and that's obviously been a huge, huge boost to the offense. But, you know, it's Ramondre Stevenson and all his fumbling issues, and it's a rookie running back. They had Antonio Gibson got hurt and is out for the season. You know, it was a huge blow.
How about this one? I was saying that an earmark of the Patriots back in the day, not just a head coach in his second year and a quarterback in his second year, or a coach in his second time around as well in his second year with a quarterback in his second year, and, you know, and a lot of the connective tissue to the last time we've seen a movie like this. Used to be, you know, the Patriots are going to take on a tough opponent or a tough player, and that player is injured or suspended. And I'm like, well, here comes Cincinnati without Ja'Marr Chase. Mm-hmm. How about Joe Burrow being a full participant in practice yesterday?
Yeah, is he going to play on Sunday?
I don't know.
No.
Nah. Flacco
was listed as limited with an injury, and Burrow was full.
Okay.
He's back.
So Joe Burrow showing up against New England.
That's
with
fun.
The season on the line.
Oof. My game just got a little bit okay.
You just sat upright in your chair a little bit, right?
All right.
Now that would be an impressive win in Ohio if it's Joe Burrow saying, look who's back, everybody.
Yeah.
The Patriots could say, we are.
The Rich Eisen Show Podcast.